Zombie Strike. This used to be an extreme sport watched by millions around the world. We hunted zombies on a man-made island in the South Pacific. Well, that was then. This is now. Part 11, Chapter 117. Gateway Arch, St. Louis, Missouri. 31 December 2011. 2300 hours local. Countdown, 1 hour. Mateo Cortez watched as the truth's minions constructed the site for the golden ritual. He hoped none of his nervousness showed through his impassive facade. He looked down and read the notes on his PDA. Quentin helped him with a lot of them. A small pang of loss echoed through Mateo as he remembered the giant, gentle scholar. Mateo hoped the two of them had been correct about their guesses. If they were wrong, the best outcome would be that the city of St. Louis would be turned into nuclear glass, and the America's heartland would be subject to the nasty fallout. The worst would be the conquering of the world by an army of interdimensional vampires, or a human-sacrificing death cult. The worst part was that in all possibilities, he wouldn't be there to protect his daughters. He'd been pretty sure that Quentin had been wrong. As he sat silently across from Giant, Mateo had been planning the man's death and resigning himself to dying in the nuclear fires. He understood Colin's decision to help the truth in those bleak hours. Then his team had returned and the last puzzle piece fell into place. It felt like Quentin had looked down from heaven and drew back the curtain on the path. Mateo had hoped Quentin was still smiling down on the team. They were going to need every bit of edge they could get. The sight was actually quite impressive. The truth's minions and remaining golems cleared an area maybe 400 yards in front of the gateway arch. The minions were using a gold-flecked powder to draw several interlocking designs. The whole thing was maybe 300 yards wide. From the recon feed on Tredegar's computer, the whole thing reminded Mateo of those Nazca lines in South Africa. 5 gold pedestals were placed in an arc maybe 50 feet wide in the center of the ritual site. At the focal point of the arc was what looked like a golden book stand. A baseball-sized orb of obsidian was resting on the stand. A pair of minions stood guard over the orb. "Are you sure about this, Maddie?" Colin asked softly. "Sure? No. But Quentin and Jess pored over the prophecies we stole from the truth. Quentin was reasonably sure about it. To be honest, I'd rather trust Quentin than Castle," Mateo answered. Colin simply nodded. In the short time since the combined Zombie Strike truth team returned from dealing with the vampires, the two men had mended their relationships. It helped when Mateo revealed their plan to his former second-in-command. It was a gamble, but it paid off. Colin leaped to the plan like a drowning man to a piece of driftwood. "Everyone's been briefed," Chief Stahl informed Mateo as he casually strolled up to the two men. Mateo had half expected the chief to go ballistic when he found out Mateo had brought Colin in on the plan. Instead, the chief simply nodded as if he was checking off a list of things the team needed to do. "Any issues?" Mateo said. "You need to talk to your daughter," Stahl said. Mateo nodded and walked over to where Jess was leaned up against Billy. The spirit wolf was now the size of a Clydesdale horse and glowed with pulsing power. She looked up as Mateo approached. She'd learned to mimic Mateo's expressionless face, but he could see the tension in her body. "I hate you, Quentin, and you both," she said flatly. Mateo sat down next to his foster daughter. He wrapped his arms around her. She resisted at first, but finally relented and leaned into him. Since this whole thing started, everyone's been so worried about me fulfilling my destiny. They should have been worried about you. Of all of us, you got the worst role in all of this. I wish I could have seen it before it was forced on you. You'd still let it happen, Jess snarled. You've been spending too much time with Sissy, Mateo observed. He continued before Jess could interrupt. She hates me, and she has every right to. I pushed her too far in order to win. I knew it, and I did it anyway because I was trying to stop an evil man. So why is it different with me? Jess asked. First, because you're my daughter and I love you. I can tell you how proud I am of the woman you've become, Mateo answered. Jess looked down, and Mateo could almost see her ears glow pink with sudden embarrassment. I also learned from some sacrifices aren't worth the cost. So, how come? Jess started before Mateo laid his finger on her lips. Because sometimes they are worth the cost. Mateo answered, a sad look in his eyes. Father and daughter silently wept as Billy curled around them protectively. The three of them just sat there for a while, ignoring time as best they could. Matt, a cold, feminine voice said, breaking the spell. Mateo looked up at Sissy O'Connell. What's up? Mateo asked in reply as he stood up. Those funny old men just appeared, Sissy said, jerking her thumb behind her. Mateo looked over her shoulder and nodded. It's almost time. Go, get in position, Mateo ordered. The female sniper unslung her L-96 and ghosted into the darkness. Mateo gave Jess a quick peck on her cheek before striding over the growing pup. As Quentin guessed, the Guardians had appeared. The path was nearing its end. It would be their duty to witness and guide the mere mortals as they used the golden ritual to harness the power of a god. It would be the Guardians that confirmed who was to fulfill each of the five roles. Mateo and Quentin's plan rested on when the Guardians would confirm. It is time, Mateo, Giant said smugly as he approached. The Guardians hovered wordlessly as Castle, Colin, and Chief Stahl stood by. Stahl and Colin nodded imperceptibly at Mateo. You're right, it is time, Mateo said. Something in his tone must have alerted Castle. The leader of the truth suddenly looked concerned. It's time I killed you, Giant. Haven't you figured it out? I am invulnerable to your pathetic weapons, Giant roared with frustration. Even if you could kill me, I am the champion. I am one of the five for the golden ritual. Yeah, I've been thinking about that, Mateo said, reaching behind his back and pulling the strap. One of the things we learned in that sojourn across Europe is that the roles aren't set until the moment. I'm thinking now isn't the moment. As for killing you, that took a bit longer to figure it out. Giant lashed out with his whip. In one fluid motion, Mateo yanked Quentin's warhammer and knocked the whip away. You think that hammer will do anything to me? Giant snarled. It hasn't yet. Normally, no. Then I remembered how I killed Zibizen, Mateo said. The Giant's eyes went wide as he realized what Mateo was saying. A warhammer alone couldn't do a damn thing to you. The hammer of a slain hero, that's another thing altogether. Mateo and Giant bellowed their battle cries an instant before the entire ritual site exploded in gunfire.
Hey, this is Ken Blanchard, narrator of Zombie Strike. Thank you for listening and downloading all this time. We're getting down to the end, and I want to thank you for being a faithful listener. If you like the story, the author has written another one. He's working on it right now, called Bad Moon Rising. Check it out at derek-ward.com. You can check out my blog at kenblanchard.com and my other podcast, The Urban Shooter. Again, thanks for listening.